Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to Bloody Podcast. We are going to be doing a different episode today. We're starting a new series that we don't quite have a name for. Survive and Thrive.
Survive and Thrive. That's good. We're covering women who have survived attacks.
Women who have survived attacks or any kind of, atrocity. I pulled this story from a episode of a show called I Survived, which I recommend people watch because it's really good.
I'm just kidding.
it's about cooking, actually.
Surviving the kitchen. That makes sense.
Surviving the kitchen. It's about people who've survived different, natural disasters or, man-made disasters by like kidnapping or attempted murder, which is what I call a man-made disaster.
Yeah. It's not like a man-made lake overflowing, like an explosion.
No. So this was, if you are interested, this is for season 3, episode 1. We're going to be talking about the story of Mary Vincent. And she is an amazing, amazing woman. I'll go into detail why. I pulled clips from the actual episode of I Survived because I felt like a lot of it would be better if it was in her own words. I will say that this is a severe trigger warning. We're going to go into a lot of dark stuff. We're going to be dealing with kidnapping, unfortunately, sexual assault, and also dismemberment. So if any of those things sound too much to you right now, I suggest you not listen, which we totally would understand. All right. So, the little bit I know from Mary that I read several articles, one of them said that she was one of 7 children, and, it didn't say where she was born, but she lived in Las Vegas when she was younger with her 2 parents, and she loved to dance. And by her account, she was a very good dancer and was on track to make that her profession. That was what she wanted to do when she was younger, is be a dancer. When she was in her teens, her parents went through a pretty messy divorce. And that turmoil kind of forced her to flee her parents' home and move to California. And one article said that she lived with a boyfriend in California and they lived out of his car.
Well, that's,
yeah. So, and it was Northern California. So it was just humid and rainy and
cold.
Yeah. Cold. But at some point the boyfriend was arrested for raping a different teenage girl. What I gather is that this boyfriend was over 18 and was sleeping with a teenage Mary, but then also sexually assaulted a different teenage girl and was arrested for that.
Oh, man.
So she was sort of left to her own devices, and she decides that she's going to make she's going to hitchhike. This was in the 1970s, by the way, which is hitchhiking was very prevalent back then.
Totally normal to hitchhike.
Yeah, it was totally normal, which is wild to me. It's wild.
Yeah, it's wild to us now. But that's that's also how so many serial killers like fucking thrived.
Yes. But like, I think my mom is a pretty, cautious person, and she won't do, she was very protective of my brother and I, and always kind of thought about things heavily before allowing us to go. Like if we wanted to go over to a friend's house, she had to meet both of their parents or at least, every adult in the household before she would okay it. And she freely tells stories about how she hitchhiked when she was younger.
Well, then that's probably why, right? Because she's like, I realize now how many times I almost could have died.
Yeah. She did have to jump, it was slowing to a stop sign, but she did have to jump out of a man's car because she got a sketchy vibe. See? And that was like this most serious that it got. But yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. So she decided to hitchhike 400 miles to Covina, California to live with her grandfather. So this on September 29th, 1978 in Berkeley, California, Mary was hitchhiking and, you know, they have their sign that says, you know, I'm going here. And she was hitchhiking with about two or three other people. I think in the video, I didn't include the clip, but I think she said it was like three other people, but then some articles said it was two other people. And so let me play that clip. So she's hitchhiking, she has her sign, and then a blue van pulls up.
I had a sign saying that I was going south, and a man pulled up in a blue van. There were two other people behind me who had the same sign, going in the same general direction. And when the man pulled up, they noticed he had an empty van. There was nothing in the back. But he said he only had room for one person.
Yep. Red flag number one.
People behind.
Yeah, red flag number one. Not good.
The other two people behind me said, you shouldn't go in there. If he's not willing to take other people and just a female, that's not the safest bet. But at the time, I wasn't thinking about that. I wasn't a daredevil or anything. I was just desperate to get home. I could not live another day out alone.
Yeah. So Mary got in the van, and I would like to preface this again, you know, in this mindset, hitchhiking is normal, right? And, you know, she gets in the van. She sees this old man, right, who is around 50-ish year old Lawrence Singleton. Mm-hmm. And she sees this old man and she kind of gets grandfather vibes from him. And she's like, he's an older grandfather type, you know, you kind of just make concessions, right? You rationalize and you're just tired. You're exhausted. He's willing to take you where you need to go. You know, so I could put, if I was in that time frame, I could definitely see myself doing the same thing that she did. I'm tired. I want to take a shower. I want to go. I want to sleep. You know, I just want to get home. I want to get to my grandfather's. And I see this older man who just doesn't seem like he's, you know, any problem to anybody.
I was going to say, I don't know. And I'm not at all trying to, like, victim shame. This is all in the context of comedy. But I will say, in all seriousness, that the more that an old man looks sweeter and more like Santa vibes, the more creeped out I am from them. Maybe that's just because of what we do. But yes. The nicer they look, the more stranger danger alerts I get. Like, it's like, if we've learned anything from Donald Sutherland, is that the more adorable you look, the more nefarious you are.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. The bigger, the more bulbous and red your nose is, the more the more women you've chopped up.
Yeah.
I also will say that I feel like I lucked out in the grandfather department because my grandfather is a piece of shit. And so anytime I get grandfather vibes, it's a bad thing. You know,
like, that's very true. Yeah.
This guy's about to punch that lady in the face.
Yeah.
that's my grandfather vibes.
Exactly. This guy has been around too long and you know he's not nice.
Yeah. So when she said I got grandfather vibes from him, I was like, oh, see, that's where I would be. That's where that's what shut me off. Now, grandmother vibes, possibly, you know, but
even then I'm like, are you like a witch and you're going to you're going to fucking put me in the oven and take me to a house made of candy? Like, that's my, but that's just me. And that's just us because we're paranoid about everyone and everything. And you know what? We're 34 plus. So we've made it.
Yeah, 34. We're definitely 34. So also I will say that, you know, in that time period, like, serial killers were prevalent, but they weren't, it wasn't well established.
No. Yeah, nobody knew they were out there. That's why they were so prevalent.
Yeah. So I would say, like, we've been doing this for several years, and on top of that, we've been researching not doing a show for several years. We were just out researching serial killers for the funsies, which I think is weirder now. Like, I was a teenager. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I'm just saying that, like, we now have the hindsight that these poor people had to suffer, you know? And so I think that, you know, with that, but yeah, I mean, I feel like if I was born in the 70s, I would for sure have died at some point. Like, I'm just too trusting. I just always am like, well, I mean, if somebody tells me something, then why would they lie? You know? And so
why would they try to hurt me? I didn't do anything to them.
Yeah. So anyway, she gets in the van, you know, and to his credit, he was very charming, very kind, you know, and he's just like, yeah, I'll take you, you know, as far as I can go. And she was like, well, you know, I'm really sorry, but I'm very tired. Is it okay if I take it, like, fall asleep for a little bit? He's like, yeah, fall asleep. That's totally fine. Oh, no, you know, no. I'm taking you to take you home. I'm not taking you for a companionship. So whatever you need to do, I get it. And, you know, so she felt comfortable enough to fall asleep, and she was also very exhausted. So I'm going to play the next clip.
I was just so exhausted. I dozed off for a little bit. And when I woke up, I noticed that the signs were different and they were heading in the opposite direction.
So remember, she was going south. Right, she had her sign that said, I'm going south.
To Covina. And
to Covina. And she noticed that the sign, you know, they were going back up north. So she tells him to turn around. And he says, oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. Like, because she's upset. She's like, you're going the wrong way. This is really creeping me out. You need to turn around. He's like, I'm so sorry. Oh, geez. I got totally turned around. I apologize. And he kind of pulls onto the side road to turn around. He's like, I'm going to turn around right now. And she's very intelligent. She's highly adept, right? So she is recognizing that this is something's off. Even though he's telling her it was just a mix up, you know, I got turned around. She realizes that something's off.
Right.
And she looks at her shoes and she thinks, oh, they're untied. And so now I'm going to play the clip.
I looked down and noticed my tennis shoe was untied. Now, if I'm going to be able to outrun this person because I'm young, he's old. I'm healthy, he's not. I better tie my shoe. So I opened up the passenger door, got out to tie my shoe. That's when a sledgehammer hit me on the head.
Oh, no, no, no.
So, yeah. So he hits her with the sledgehammer and knocks her out. And when she wakes up, she's tied in the back of the van. She's completely tied up.
When I came to, I was tied up in the back of his van. He began raping me.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, he raped her several times. I will say this, she had amazing recall. amazing. She remember it, this is, see, this thing is, I think this is a terrifying thing to note, but also this is one of the many reasons why he was able to be captured, is she remembers everything. She remembered everything. She was cognizant during everything. She was able to vividly remember every single thing. And that must be terrifying when yes. you're in the moment, absolutely. You know?
Oh, my God. I cannot relate to this, but I did have a bird fly into my office today. And I didn't know what to do.
I was wondering how you were going to loop the bird in. And this is how you chose it. Okay. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was scary. It was scary, Lori.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I came in here and I had my coffee and my water bottle and I was ready to record. And I opened the office door and there's a bird. And it's a little brown bird and it's flying around. And I scream and then I text Lori, what do I do? And then I stood like an asshole in the hallway, not knowing what to do. And Cash is not far. He's in the shower. I just don't want to interrupt the shower.
Okay.
But after a while, I'm like, it's 10:55. I have to record. So I ask, I tell Cash, there's a bird. There's a bird in the office. And truly, not the same scope, but I was violated. And I needed a lot of help.
Definitely not the same scope.
And it broke a lot of stuff.
No.
It broke a bunch of Cash's toys. Like,
aww.
Freaking out. And it was so clever. It hid amongst the toys.
Oh, wow.
And wouldn't let us catch him for like 10 minutes.
Wow. So it did one of those things where it's like a row of toys and then the bird.
Yes. Yes. It did that like 3 times and we didn't want to hurt him. So we couldn't at first I was like, oh, let me get this yardstick. And because we couldn't find him. And I was like, let me get this yardstick and smack it around. And then I realized I was going to hurt the bird.
So my idea of getting a tray and gently pushing it wouldn't have worked. That's what I texted her.
Yes. Lori texted me to get a tray and I looked at all my trays. I have a golden circle tray and then I have like a huge black tray that is really the bottom of a dog cage. And I was like, I don't understand how I'm supposed to coax it out. Like, is it supposed to stay on the tray? And then I just gently.
When we had a bird in our apartment, it was a bigger bird, I will say that. But we had a bird in our house. And my dad got like a TV tray and he just sort of like pushed the bird with the TV tray out the window. Like the bird was just like, it was waddling and then it kind of just slid out the window.
Oh, maybe he's hurt.
Yeah. So it was, so that's how my dad did it. So I didn't know what size the bird was, but I was just like, I mean, that's the only thing I know how to do.
It was not a big bird.
To get rid of the bird.
It was a very small brown bird. Bye, Star.
Sorry, my fiance's leaving. She's going to acupuncture.
Oh, that sounds so nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had to share my story.
No, I mean, yeah. I was trying to figure out. I was honestly thinking maybe I should do like Golden Girls trivia because I've been watching a lot of Golden Girls. I've been trying to watch the whole show. And so I was like, maybe I should do Golden Girls trivia. And then I read some of the trivia and I was like, this is just as triggering. Not in the same scope, but there's a lot of trauma
that makes
sense. They went through a lot of infighting. And I was like, I don't know if this would help in any way. You know? So it's not just as. I'm going to take that out. This is triggering as well, but in a different way.
Right.
All right. So back to horrible scene, right?
Yeah.
She's tied up in a van. This asshole is raping her and she's remembering everything. And he continues to rape her long into the night and into the next morning. And she's begging him to set her free. She keeps saying, please set me free. He doesn't say one word to her. She says, please set me free. And I won't say anything. I won't tell anyone. I won't do anything. So he's, you know, he continues to have her in the van. Then he takes her out of the van.
He said, you want to be set free? I'll set you free. And he pulled out a hatchet from his toolbox and took my left arm and took one swing. And I started to fall. And then he took another swing.
Oh, no.
And I grabbed his arm, grabbed it real tight. And I couldn't figure out, I'm holding him real tight on his arm, but I'm still falling. I looked down at my arm and there was nothing, just blood squirting out.
So he hacks off her left arm and she was grabbing onto his arm. She's on the ground now and she decides she's going to start kicking and screaming to see if she can kind of get anyone's attention. You know, they're out in the middle of nowhere, but she thinks maybe somebody will hear me.
You're right.
She's fully naked. She's covered in blood. She's on the ground. She starts kicking and screaming. Then he gets Lawrence gets on the ground, takes the hatchet and starts hacking at her right arm. Now, because she's kicking and screaming, it takes longer for him to cut off her right arm.
Ugh.
And he has to hack her several more times.
No.
So after he hacks off her arm, she realizes that, you know, there's nobody around. And that the only way for her to survive is to pretend to be dead.
Right.
So she stops making a sound.
When he was done chopping my arm off, I lay there bleeding, but I could see him at a distance. And he was flicking his arm. And I couldn't figure out why, until I looked at the end of his arm, my hand was still clutched onto him real tight, and he was trying to flick it off.
Yeah. So she stayed still. He dragged her body to the edge of a cliff and threw her off a 30-foot cliff.
Oh, my God.
The fall broke both her ribs. But she did not make a sound.
All I wanted to do was go to sleep.
Ugh.
But all I heard was a voice saying that I can't go to sleep. He's going to do this to somebody else. And I can't let that happen.
Oh my God.
That's what was going through my heart, my mind, and my soul. And I couldn't have him do that to another girl.
It's incredible that she survived the fall as well.
I know. Yeah, it's very incredible.
I'm sorry. I thought the clip was over.
No. You're fine. No, yeah. No, exactly. It's crazy that she was able to survive
all of this.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, is her both her arms missing or one?
Yes. Both her arms have been hacked off.
God.
Well, I think the left arm was right above the elbow or below the elbow, and the right arm I think still has a little bit more of her arm, but I'm not 100% sure.
I stuck my arms in the dirt to pat my arms so that they won't bleed so much, and the dirt would act like mud and it'll stop some of the bleeding. I crawled back up the cliff.
How?
Without any hands.
Yes.
Yeah, without any hands, she crawled back up the cliff. She when she got to the so this had been morning, you know, when he first started hacking off her arms, right? It had just been daylight. When she finally gets back up the cliff, it's pitch black.
My God.
And she has her arms above her head to keep the blood and muscles from falling out.
Oh my God.
The first car that passes her was like a Corvette, like a racing car, and it had two men in the car, and they both saw her and drove and sped away.
Oh my God.
In fear. Luckily, a couple lost on their honeymoon in a beat up old truck stopped and helped her into the bed of the truck and then raced to a phone to call for help.
Jesus Christ.
She was helicoptered to a hospital. Mary lost half her blood in her body and the other half had become toxic.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Doctors had to take skin and muscle from her legs to save her arms, what was left of her arms. So unfortunately, because of that, she would never dance again. Due to her now remember, she remembered everything. She remembered everything about Lawrence. She remembered everything about the incident. And because of her amazing recall and the in-depth description she gave of Lawrence and the van, he was soon captured. At 15 years old, Mary testified against the man who raped and mutilated her.
When he was done testifying and I was leaving the courthouse, I had to pass him just inches away. And I heard him say, "If it's the last thing I do, I will finish the job."
Bitch. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I would have fucking... Oh, God, I'd be so pissed if he said that. And I fucking dove head first into him and just started biting.
Yeah, seriously. What a freaking loser. He did not finish the job.
No.
Because he's a piece of shit. He was sentenced to 14 years, but he only served 8 years and 4 months.
What?
He didn't yes.
get sentenced to life in prison?
No, because of the laws at the time. It wasn't like he could only be sentenced to 14 years.
What?
He was sentenced for rape, you know, clearly rape, but also attempted murder. But yeah, because of the laws at the time, he could only be sentenced to 14 years.
Unbelievable.
On February 19th, 1997, Lawrence lured a sex worker named Roxanne Hayes into his home. In Florida, he had since moved to Florida,
of course,
and violently murdered her. Mary flew from California to Florida to testify against Lawrence and Roxanne's case. So she then had to go again, you know, later on.
Face him again.
And face him again.
My God, dude.
She still did it. She still, you know, went and did it. He was sentenced to death.
Good.
On April 14th, 1998. He died December 28th, 2001 at 74 of cancer.
Oh my God. There is no satisfaction in this case.
I know. Mary did win $13,000 or received $13,000 from the California Victims Fund and won a $2.5 million judgment against Lawrence, but never received a dime because he was a pathetic loser who didn't do anything of right. substantial value. She's had some hard times. I think in one article I read that she has two sons. Her and her sons had to live in an ARCO gas station for a time, an abandoned ARCO gas station. But she said that even though her finding out that, you know, he had died of cancer didn't really bring her any solace.
No.
That she saw the look of relief on her sons and she was appreciative of that. So she said, you know, if my sons are okay, if my sons are finally able to, you know, if they feel relieved, then I'm okay. What? And I thought that was, you know, pretty
That's
amazing.
Really sweet. Yes, of course. But what's mind-boggling is that there doesn't seem to have been any follow-up in the investigation after he was caught for Mary.
Yeah, like, no.
This was obviously not his first crime, not his first attack on somebody. He was already practiced in it. And yet,
yes.
And yet there doesn't seem to have been any follow-up by police to be like, well, we should probably find out who else he's already done this to, because Mary can't be the first.
Yes. So they do believe that he's definitely, police say they definitely believe that he's probably killed more. But I mean, yeah, they're like, you know, they have, there's nothing, no investigation, nothing.
Well, fucking belief is candy and nuts. Like fucking, it doesn't, yeah. It doesn't do anything.
I know. So, Mary has since become an artist. She said that before the incident, she couldn't even draw a straight line, even with a ruler. I would mess it up. This is something that woke up after the attack, and my artwork has inspired me and given me self-esteem.
Hell yeah, Mary.
And you should see, there are pictures of her artwork online, and they're beautiful. I mean, she does an amazing job. It's. I mean, you could give me all the art supplies in the world and 10,000 hours, and I would not come up with anything as good as she does. She does really great portraits and stuff. So I would check it out. It's really good. Yeah. So, you know, no update on her that's like recent, but I hope she's doing well. I hope her sons are doing well. And yeah, I just, I'm sad that she didn't get the justice she deserved, but I'm glad that he's dead. I hope it hurt every fucking second when he died. It felt like the worst pain in the world, and I hope it lasted a lifetime.
You know what's infuriating? And I fully blame the devil, is that serial killers and brutal killers a lot of them seem to die by cancer instead of going to the chair.
Or
getting their actual death sentence enacted. It's like Night Stalker. He also died via cancer. And it's so infuriating because in my mind, I feel like, not to get super Christian or anything, this is just my fantastical theory. I also believe in vampires. I feel like serial killers make a pact with the devil. And then the devil's like, part of your bonus clause is that you won't die by the hands of somebody else. You'll die at my hand. I'll just give you cancer, and then it'll be super easy, and you'll just go. And then you'll be here for the rest of eternity. But it's just so infuriating. Like, it's like, just let us kill them.
Yes. No, I see. I want to believe that. I want to believe that they make a pact with the devil, and that's what happens. But the true reality, I feel like, is it's just human error and apathy. These, you know, like, the laws aren't, the death penalty is not designed to kill people who deserve to be killed. It's designed to kill innocent people, basically. That's sure. Death penalty. It's designed to kill mentally disabled and people of color. That's what it's designed to do. And so, you know, who are actual killers, yeah, they're not going to get there's not going to be no justice. I mean, the only real justice, if we see, you know, in the case of Jeffrey Dahmer, is they get killed by somebody else, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, that's all you can hope for. But yeah, no, the law is not designed to help the victims. It's designed to help the people who commit the crimes. So
it's so much. At the very least, if we find out that somebody that is a convicted killer on death row gets cancer, instead of spending all that money that we do to monitor for cancer and, you know, all the follow-up tests and possible treatment, let's just put them in the chair, like, once we know.
Yes.
Once we know you have just
it's terminal.
A little bit
yeah.
of cancer, we're like, it's no, you don't get to go this way. You
yeah.
I think it's fair. I'm gonna propose this bill.
You should run for Congress on that. That'd be or Senate. I don't know.
whoever controls the death row injections.
This has been Politics by Politalk by Marianne Laurie. Once again, Politalk, quote, we don't know who runs things, end quote. So if you know who is in charge of death row, please send them our information.
Yeah. Yeah. Not because we did anything wrong, but because we want to help.
We want to help. We want to assist in any way possible. No. Yeah. I mean, I would have loved if they had just taken him out back and shot him in the head. Yeah. Like that would have been the best.
Like it should. I mean, I think a lot of us feel that, you know, an eye for an eye kind of thing. So let's let him bleed out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if anything, yeah, he should have been tied up in a van and had his arms chopped off. Absolutely. Like, let's make him suffer.
And then thrown off a 30-foot cliff.
Yeah.
I know this story is probably very infuriating to a lot of people, to mostly anybody who hears it. It's amazing that Mary had the wherewithal at such a young age, especially. She was only 15. To do every single thing she did.
The fact that she survived and the fact that she had such a clear picture of Lawrence and who he was and the van and everything is a testament to, you know, just like that's amazing. And I'm not saying that, you know, any other woman who died by his hands, you know, deserved, like Roxanne Hayes did not deserve it. No. But it's just, you know, I feel like it, I don't necessarily believe in God, but there's something to say of this woman who was, I think she, you know, stood up in front and she represented all the victims, not only Roxanne, but obviously the other women that he's killed.
Yes.
That, you know, the nameless victims that he murdered, that the cops just have no interest in helping. Yeah. I found it at the bottom. They say that, let's see, that the officers believe that he could be responsible for as many as a dozen murders.
Yeah. Well, belief is nothing. Okay.
How do you come up with that number? How'd you come up with that number? What do a modicum of investigation, do something.
It sounds like they like fucking, they like sent him a letter and they were like, hey,
it was like one of those like number ranges is like circle, which one you think you're Phil, 1 to 6, 6 to 12, 12 to 18. Like how many victims do you think you have?
Yeah. Oh my God. And they fucking, like they sent him like a box too, to put all the evidence in, like you make sure to get rid of all of it.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll come by, but in case we do.
Yeah.
God, dude. And, you know, I'm looking at a picture of Lawrence Singleton right now, and I see what she means about him looking friendly. But I guess where I'm going is he's an ugly son of a bitch. Not that helps anything.
He looks like he smells.
He looks like he smells. He has, like, as he got older, his face did that thing where it got all scrunchy, like meth scrunchy.
Yes.
You know, like all of his bottom teeth jutted out and then took over the rest of his face. And I really wouldn't want to be surprised if he was also on meth, especially once he moved down to Florida.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Or that crocodile, whatever that one drug that has like you get scales on your skin.
Ugh. Like fucking dragon scale from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
No. Get some milk of the poppy. No.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, that was the story of survivor Mary Vincent.
Incredible.
And yeah, if there's any other stories that you guys, this is a series we want to start doing to kind of showcase, you know, people who are victims of a crime. And so, if you have any stories you'd like us to discuss, please let us know. You can reach out to us at Bloody Podcast on Instagram or thebloodypodcast@gmail.com.
Or look at their new website, bloodypodcast.co, because because there have been problems with .com. And we don't need the M. Okay, the M.
We don't
is
need
old.
The M.
It's yeah. old school.
We're losing the M.
Yeah, we're CO. We're young. We're fresh.
We're fresh. We're attracting birds. I mean, we have bird power. Yeah. So
we are also surviving and thriving in our own way.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Lori. That was great.
Thank you.
We will see you guys next week. Have a good yes. night.
You too. You too.